So good morning, Pine Lake Covenant Church. It is really good to see you all. I love Palm Sunday, and I also love Palm Sunday in the United States, but I was born and raised in the Congo. And every Sunday was Palm Sunday. Like, we were waving palms all the time. So, like, it was very different than finally I come to the United States, and, like, there was actually one Sunday where we raise our palms, and it's kind of cool. But we are continuing in our series, When You Pray. And this morning we're going to explore what it means to pray these words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we've been saying, it's also Palm Sunday, or Kyle actually termed it Donkey Sunday, and I approve of this message. but yes, it is entirely fitting indeed that we are praying these words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our When You Pray series on Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk about that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy in this room. I thank you, God, that today is such a special and beautiful day to declare and to remember that you are King, you reign, and you are King of our hearts. Lord, have your way in us this morning. May this whole next 20, 25 minutes just be a conversation with your Holy Spirit talking to us as we listen. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, does anybody here like to time travel? I knew it. I knew you would raise your hand. I think the next question I'm going to propose is, like, share your favorite time travel experience. Everyone will be like, what? Okay, so maybe not in, like, a DeLorean, right, or finding a wormhole or a large wardrobe, but we do kind of time travel sometimes. Anytime we travel or fly to a different time zone, we are time traveling, right? Especially when we fly across the international timeline, it's just really trippy because you've been traveling for hours, but then you just arrived in yesterday. And then you're not half the man you used to be. Sorry. I grew up on the Beatles, so I had to do it. But when we time travel, we reset our watches, right? Or now we have fancy phones and it gets reset for us, but there's also jet lag, and you get home, and it takes forever to recover for some reason. And I always thought the word was jet lag until I was, like, 30. I'm not joking. And then I always wondered, does jets have to do with legs, or legs have to do with jets, except for if you have long ones, you don't like jets. That's all I could come up with. But anyone here actually like watching, like, the time travel movies? Yeah, a little bit, Alex. There's so many movies that deal with time travel. The Time Machine is an old one. The Time Traveler's Wife, Terminator, every single Marvel movie ever. Doctor Who, right? Outlander. Time travel in movies, like, it deals with all these complexities of altering the past and alternate realities and timelines and time loops and grandfather paradoxes and time machines and butterfly effects and so forth. It's really super simple stuff. But when I'm watching it, I just can't stand it. I'm like, I'm asking my family the whole time, like, wait, what? How? And then Annabelle's like, just suspend judgment, Mom. And I'm like, that is not in my nature to do that. But friends, I want to just hold this image in our head today as we talk about time travel. Is that when we pray this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are kind of talking about time travel. But it's not so complicated. It's an invitation to reset our spiritual watches, so to speak, and recognize the reality that in Jesus, the end of time starts now, which we'll talk about. So let's begin by getting into our PLCC DeLorean. You ready? Put your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on. There you go. And we're going to drive back in time to first century Israel and listen to Jesus teaching his followers how to pray. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Jesus says to them, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. And we're going to zero in right at this part, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But first, I want to talk about what are we talking about when we talk about what the kingdom is. What is the kingdom that Jesus is referring to here in this prayer? And in about as a condensed sentence as I can get it, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is where Christ reigns and rules. Okay? When we pray, your kingdom come, we are praying for the reign and rule of Christ to be a reality. With me? So this kingdom we talk about, right, that we're praying for it to come, is not a celestial mansion in the sky where naked, fat Renaissance babies with wings fly around. I do not even know where that came from, but I think it's just because real angels are so terrifying with like four faces and six wings and spinning wheels with eyeballs on them. But it is not this picture that we're used to of heaven. Again, and we'll say it again and in another way. The kingdom of heaven is where God rules and reigns. A spiritual reality that exists now in Jesus and a future reality when Jesus comes again. So the kingdom of heaven, I'm just going to say this a few other ways, is understood as God's rule and influence in hearts and lives of believers. And, right, and a physical kingdom where Christ will reign in a restored earth and the final culmination of God's plan for humanity when Jesus returns. So I'm going to use a rope to demonstrate. This is a lot of words. If Annabelle knew, she can hold my rope up. The Jewish people that Jesus was talking to thought of time as a line, and I think that we do too. Chronos, right? Chronology, calendars. Time had a beginning here and a middle here. This is us. This is where we are living. And a future, the end. Beginning, middle, end. So we live right here in the middle earth. Middle earth. Middle earth. Tolkien fans, anybody? But we're going to get in the car again, and we're going to go to the apocalypse for a little bit. Okay, you guys can put it down now. Thank you. You'll have it a few more times. This is not tug of war rope in the morning. Like. So we're going to travel to the end. So if we're thinking of time as a line, we're going to start here at the end, the kingdom of heaven coming. That is a future. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying for a future reality to arrive. And in praying for this, we are making preparations for it. I don't mean locking ourselves in a bunker. I mean, we're praying for it, and by praying for it, we are preparing. Now, Rob and I have been saving miles for like 10 years, and we're so excited to take our family on a trip to Europe this summer. We have tickets in hand, and barring any world issues or illness, we know we're going. While this trip is still months away, right, we have been preparing for it for years. I'm reading and purchasing our place in various lines and finding a house and pet sitter, booking lodging, clearing calendars. Just because it's in the future doesn't mean we're not preparing for it now. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven, it is a hope-filled prayer for the future, for what will come when Jesus comes again. And when we pray this, friends, we are expressing a deep desire for Jesus to come again, for God's reign and for his rule to be established in totality, finally, for his perfect will to be realized on earth in fullness. And we are praying for a seamless alignment between heavenly realities and earthly ones. We are longing, and so we are preparing. And I would say it's a radical, hope-filled prayer that points to the beautiful words in Revelation, right? The book that prophesies the end, where heaven will finally come down out of Jerusalem and his will be accomplished, and there will be perfect righteousness and justice and peace and wholeness. Do we long for that? Oh, man, I am praying for Jesus' return. I am praying for Jesus' return. No more death and disease and sickness and sorrow. And friends, one day this will be realized. So when we pray for this over and over again, we are igniting in our hearts a longing, and therefore we are launching into preparation. It's not a passive prayer, it's active. We prepare our hearts, we prepare our souls for an inheritance kept in heaven for us as we prepare to meet Jesus. We prepare for heaven, right? We're reminded as we prepare that our treasures on earth will get rusty and they will decay, that our treasures are kept in heaven. We set our thoughts on heavenly things above and not on the things below. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We continue to have hope in what we cannot see. Or the words of Apostle Peter, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. We make ready. We make ready, friends. The end is near. It always has been. It will always continue to be closer to the end. And it's coming. And so we prepare by letting go of earthly idols and rejoice in our sufferings. and we purify our hearts and we walk obediently in faith to Jesus. And we prepare the world's heart and soul to meet Jesus. We ask ourselves, am I ready? Are you ready? We prepare when we pray. Now Jesus teaches this prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. But he doesn't stop there. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. So not just a future reality, which we just talked about, which it is, but also a present reality we participate in here. All right, let's hold it up again. So actually, this is the best part. This is our time travel. Time got muddled up. Time got bent and looped. The kingdom of heaven actually arrived in Jesus. Oh, here's my line. I think I've been doing children's ministry like too much. I always have to, now I'm going to have illustrations for like everything. Okay. So, beginning, middle, end. Jesus, the long-awaited king, all the prophecies are about him up until this point, right? And here he arrives, and so the king arrives, and he begins to talk about what? The kingdom of heaven. Exactly. And he declares in Luke 17:21, hey, everybody, guess what? The kingdom of heaven is here. It is among you. It is, oh, next slide. It is among you. It is in you. It is already here. Yes, the kingdom of God is presently and actively at work through the arrival of Jesus, the King of heaven. So what happened is time got muddled. And the end, where's my end? There's my end. And the end came. In Jesus. Let me explain. You guys can put it down. Actually, let's leave the end of the rope on Jesus. Thank you. Luciana. Jesus teaches this prayer to his disciples. And they pray this prayer. And then several weeks later, Jesus begins his triumphal entry into Jerusalem as king. And this is what we are commemorating today, Palm Sunday, right? And so the disciples are probably like, wow, that was fast. We just prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus comes as king. Like, we're really good at praying. This is awesome. This is what we're waiting for. And Jesus enters Jerusalem and Israel's hailing him as their savior. And they're waving their palm branches. And there is a joyous celebration of this immediate rescue that they thought this king would bring to Israel. That was the end, right? Freedom from Roman occupation. Hosanna, the end is here. The kingdom of God is established. But then this king of theirs is persecuted and beaten and mocked and tortured and stripped of dignity and wrongfully imprisoned and capitally punished as a criminal. And they're thinking, how on earth is this kingdom reign here now in this man who just died? Now it's not making sense. And so on Good Friday, and Black Saturday, while they had hoped that this was the case, but he died. They now went back to a place of waiting and disappointment and sadness, because this doesn't look like God's kingdom at all when they looked at the cross. So the waiting for the end continues. But then Sunday comes, and Jesus raises from the dead, and that changes everything. And now the reality of the time loop is here, for real. And they get it. So the disciples, now knowing the resurrected Christ, now understand that yes, indeed, the end had come because Jesus rose from the dead. The king reigns. He's resurrected. The power over death is here. The redemption for sin is here. The restoration of life is here. And because of Jesus' resurrection, the disciples came to understand and believe that the end had already arrived while the middle was going on. And this is good news. This is good news. Through Jesus' bodily resurrection from the dead, it was an event, I love this quote, that was so comprehensively shattered the normal patterns of the world, it launched nothing short of a new creation. And this is why we celebrate Easter. It is the celebration of this prayer that we pray daily. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's a celebration that this happened. It happened in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. This is good news. When we pray this, we remember that in Christ, life happens out of death. Now, When we pray this, we remember that beautiful things are made out of dust now. That new creation can happen now. It can happen right, literally right now. That broken hearts can be healed in Jesus' name now. That addiction can be broken in Jesus' name now. That diseases can be healed in Jesus' name now. Evil spirits can flee in Jesus' name now. Because he rose from the dead, hard hearts can soften, lives can completely change, marriages can heal, oppression can be shattered, sin can be confessed and forgiven, relationships can become whole again, and we who are dead in sin can become alive again now. The end is here. And this is the Easter reality that we live in when we pray this prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thanks to the resurrected King. Amen? So what about you? Have you been shaped by this Easter reality? If so, how? Has God's kingdom, has God's reign, the heavenly touch of the living God come into your life and altered your prevailing reality? To live in the end while being in the middle, has this happened to you? Because as we pray on earth as it is in heaven, we are invited to participate in this present reality. The present reality. And it's an audacious way to live. We have the audacity to say, I see heaven on earth. And everyone else will say, yeah, look around, fools. Check your watches. You're in the wrong time zone. Does this look like heaven to you? Look at the news. Look at the market. Look at death. You say heaven is here? I don't see it. But then we'll point to our own hearts and say, yeah, it's here. It's right here. And we'll point to maybe Addie and Lavi who take trips to the Ukraine border to give supplies and love to the oppressed. And we'll say, look, there, it's right there, right now. And we'll point to the forgiveness that just occurred with our friend. And we'll say, yeah, it's right there, here now. And I'll point to my pastor friend in Myanmar who writes, everyone is badly suffering from electricity and water disaster, but still God is good and merciful. He is my father, my God, my protector, my provider, and my refuge. And I'll say, yeah, it's here right now. And I'm going to point to our 14 middle schoolers and 17 high schoolers who just went on retreats. And I say, look, there it is, heaven on earth. And as they hold hands and speak life-affirming words into one another's hearts, heaven on earth. I see them hold each other when they cry and they pray for each other. Bold faith prayers. And as they embrace each other with deep joy, as I see them pray for the first time ever, as I see them bring their entire hearts in worship and praise and their voices singing, you make beautiful things out of us. You are making me new. Yeah, heaven is here now, right now. And praying this prayer, friends, it's a move of defiant hope. We participate in the reality that it's here now because Jesus came and was resurrected. And finally, Palm Sunday reminds us that this prayer is not only the future we prepare for, it's not the present reality we participate in, but also becomes a proclamation. What are we proclaiming? What are we proclaiming? It's a countercultural reality and a holy judgment on all that is not kingdom-minded. On Palm Sunday, Jesus triumphantly arrived in Jerusalem as the scriptures foretold, which we just talked about, right? And the people are declaring Hosanna, meaning save now. And again, Jesus' followers anticipated that Jesus would triumph over their earthly oppressors. But Jesus came to reign riding on a donkey. Now, we're not going to end this sermon without talking about donkeys. Powerful kings. Don't ride donkeys. They ride stallions and horses, and riding a horse in this day was a power statement. It says, I am a king and I'm coming to remove oppressors and set up my reign, and would have an envoy and chariots and militia proclaiming the kingdom they were bringing would arrive by might and violence. But Jesus arrives on a donkey, a baby one. A symbol, a donkey, if you did not know, is a symbol of peace and the only animal that has a cross on its back. He came on a donkey to make a point, to declare peace. I am the Prince of Peace. And in the words of Pastor Matt Ayers, Jesus riding on a baby donkey shows us that the unstoppable power of the kingdom of God comes through humility, the meek, the poor, the gentle, the quiet, and the peacemakers. That's the place where God's transforming power makes itself at home. That is the place where heaven and earth converge. Praying for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven points to the humble King Jesus ushering in his kingdom in peace. And so we are proclaiming that we are subject to this King. We are proclaiming we are citizens of heaven. We are prophetically proclaiming that we live in a kingdom come that is other-oriented, merciful, just, and righteous, and humble, and meek, and inclusive, and gentle. This is counter-cultural. We point to Jesus on the donkey and we say, this heaven, this kingdom. When we pray for the kingdom to come, we do not invoke or support God's kingdom to come by use of any violence or force or tyranny or domination or oppression, but the only way, the way of peace, of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And what is more, on Palm Sunday, especially, we are proclaiming that the King did not just come for one nation. He did not just come to save one people, group, or one nationality in one moment in time, but to save the whole world in all time for all time. And that means that the kingdom of God therefore celebrates diversity and the multi-ethnic beauty of all of God's creation and all of God's image bearers, his creation. And so when we proclaim this, we embody this now. We point to the fullness of this that will be healed and completed in the end. We're pointing to a future reality by the way we live. This is the kingdom that's coming. Do you want a part of that? And what is more? One more. What is more? Jesus' death and resurrection for all. He defeated all oppression, not a worldly one, but the oppression of sin and Satan and despair and death. The sacrificial King defeated everyone's enemy. And so in the triumphal entry, on Palm Sunday and soon to be Easter, we celebrate this triumph over sin in our own lives. And each other's. Friends, this week as we head into Easter Sunday, the prayer practice I have for us to hold on to this week is simply, and the worship band can come for me, is to simply pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. Can we do it? It's found in Matthew 6. It's a gospel. 3 times a day. And here's why. I want to live in it. I want us to live in it. I want to absorb this so hard that as we sit in this prayer, hold on to that one line a little longer each time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say it again. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In my life, in my family's life, in my community's life, in the world's life. Say it again. And then watch how this begins to shape our reality, how it changes our mindset about our citizenship. Ask yourself, what kingdom do I belong to? How does this look like in my life? Am I preparing for the future kingdom of God to come? Have I given my life to the King Jesus yet or not? How am I participating in the reality of the kingdom on earth now? How am I prophetically proclaiming its countercultural message? These are the questions we can sit with as we pray. Friends, we live here. We live here. And one would say this is despair and darkness, but Jesus has come. And so we have a hope that does not disappoint, that we can set our hearts on and our minds on forever. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, where would we be without you? We would be right here in this middle place with despair and darkness and sin taking over our lives. But Jesus, you've come and you've risen and you've established your kingdom. It is here. And we want to be a part of it, Lord God. And we confess that so often we're not. we persist in ways that are not of your kingdom, but God, we want to live as citizens of all that you have for us and who we are. Help us remind us who we are, your children. We belong to you. Lord, through you, you make beautiful things now. We don't have to wait till the end, although that is wonderful and I can't wait. But it also is here now. Lord, you make beautiful things out of us and you make us new. And that is what we declare and proclaim with all our hearts this morning. In your name we pray.